And yes, but this is a bit of an insult up El some Honda, like Honda glass. Eh? What kind? Shish. I suppose I better throw some ponies in here though. How's it, Gino? Liquor brother, that. Yeah, I really do believe God wants to do a work in your lives this evening. Is this echoing a bit here? Eh? Is it? It's echoing. It's not my fault. Is it too far down or what? Is it better? It's still echoing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Stay there. I'll bite you later. You must check the ovens in East London. I've got one of these. I've got one of these yokes, you know, that you put on the oxen. Like. So I've got it on the end of my pulpit. Like, and I took a soldering iron and I burnt the whole thing in there. Like. But that's where I put my bubble gum. You check. I put it on there, like, and then I chew it again afterwards. Because I mean, there's nothing worse when you pray for people and use them a pong. Like. You know, and then the people fall down, but it's not because of the Holy Spirit. So I bite it again afterwards when I'm finished, like, you know. And now the Owens thought they could get slim with me. Now they come, their old gum next to mine, you know, hoping that I'm going to chow their gum, like, you know. But I smelt it first, except, and I almost know what I put in my back, like, you know. So they didn't catch me out, like. But thank you, Lord. You know what? Oh, no, I'm not talking on that this evening. I brought my notes. I'm actually on leave, you know, so you must feel very privileged that, no. But you know something that you said, George, and it just struck me that it's not so much about the Lord being in our presence. It's more about us being in His presence. We are the honored guests here, actually, tonight, because we can't turn Him on and turn Him off whenever we smock, you know. That's the whole thing. We've got to get into His time frame, not Him into our time frame. Yes, where's my thing here? Here it is here. There we got Him now. I want to talk to you this evening, and I believe it'll come up there, yeah? The bruise of disappointment. The bruises or the bruise of disappointment. And, but you know what? Just before we go there, I just want to say that each and every one of you, you know, we can lach lekker and we can laugh and we can enjoy each other. And, you know, we go to rallies and we ride our bikes and, you know, we have a good time out there. We understand it's frontline stuff because, I mean, you guys have just done a funeral. And, you know, but the amazing thing is that as we sit here tonight, for some of you, it might be your last night here. So you must be friendly, huh? You know, you must smile at your neighbor and you must love your neighbor. It's the last chance you're going to get. And because you never know. But, you know, what I want to say is that you are actually called to belong and not just to believe, but belong. You're called to belong, each and every one of you. And I'm going to speak to you like you're my own. Because I have many sons out there and many daughters out there. I've walked with the Lord over 30 years now. And He's proved Himself faithful. And He's walked beside me through many things and many experiences in life. And for some of you, there's a lot of new faces here. But I will keep it so that you can get home and watch your soccer because I can check the double-mindedness here, you know. Wondering how long is this going to take and shoosh, you know, and all that stuff. But you must just relax. I've come a long way, though, you know. And I didn't walk this time, I rode down, you know. But in Ephesians 2.19, let me just carry on here. Ephesians 2.19, and I want to explain to you something about how important family actually is. Listen very carefully. It says here in the Living Bible, you are members of God's very own family. God's family. It's not just our family, it's God's family. Citizens of God's country, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian, those that are called by His name. We are connected. We one. So we, and you might have heard this cliche, we are created for community, We created for community. I know the colored people, they know community. The white people still got to discover it. Because we built our big walls and we've actually isolated ourselves from ourselves. So we don't understand. Many years ago, we used to jawl in the streets until the sun went down and we would play and jawl in the streets. We understood community. But today, we struggle in our communities. We don't understand community. But you were created for community. And you were fashioned for fellowship. And you were formed for a family. And that's the deal, you know. And family is such an important thing because none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. You can't fulfill it by yourself. You know what? I've been in the ministry now for many years, but in CMA, we've run the church there for 9 years, our first church. We've been part with, we've got Gary and Leslie from Wells of Life. We're staying with them in these 2 weeks holiday, and they're dear friends of ours that we were on team in eldership in New Covenant Ministries down here. We've walked a long road together, but we begin to understand family and we begin to understand each other's hearts. I feel comfortable to come down to to George as well, but more to Gary, you know, and because I see George every other time, you know, and George next time. No, listen, I'm going to say something good about you, bro. Shh. Yes. Wait, you. Yeah. But you know what? You know what the nice thing is about being in a family is that you can let your guard down. You need to be able to let your guard down. There's many of you sitting here, you hurt tonight. You've been hurt. Every single one of us have been hurt. And so, you know what? We ask each other, XA, how's it? You know, and then everybody, oh no, lekker. You know, we all find one, but you lie, man. You know, things are not all well all the time. You know, and God takes us through difficulties and difficult times and things like that. But it's nice, you know, I come down to Gary, I don't have to do anything. I don't have to smile, I don't have to talk to him. You know, he amuses himself and I laugh and, you know, and we can just be ourselves. We don't have to be something we're not like. That's how it actually should be amongst us. We shouldn't wear masks in front of each other. We should be real people with each other so that we have real fellowship, so that we can learn to trust one another and yet understand. I smoke the way you share that blanket, like it's like family, you know. I see that. Just keep your hands up, out the blankets. Yeah. And you must know how people are. Like. We're living in the real world. This is Bikers Church. Like. Yeah. Okay, we say it as it is here. Is that okay, George? Okay, I've got to be careful. All right. But you know what? That's what it is. So your relationship with Christ is very personal, but God never meant it to be private. Your relationship with Christ is personal, but it was never meant to be private. It's not a private matter. Okay? Listen carefully. You'll discover your role in life through your relationships with other people. You will never discover your role in life if you do not rub shoulders with other people. God designed it that way. We seem to be very clever. Like, you know, the pastor doesn't greet you and I'm not coming back there. You know what that shows? You're a wimp. You don't have a backbone. You can't stand when things are tough. The thing is that God wants to build fiber and fortitude and strengthen us so that we can stand and having done all to stand. Isn't that right? But Romans 12:4-5, it says here, in this way, we are like the various parts of the human body. Now, I want to just tell you something this evening. This is not a highfalutin message. A lot of us want the higher, deeper messages when we can't get the basics together yet. You know, we need to get the basics together. And not just want this deep teaching when we suckle to love one another. I mean, that's simple stuff, bro. You know? And you know what? It's a choice. It's not a feeling. It's just a choice. It's a choice to love one another. So each part gets its meaning from the body as a whole. Each part gets its meaning, Clyde. You must know. Hey, we've walked a long way. We get the meaning from the body. And that's the way it works. And it's not the other way around. The body we're talking about is Christ's body of chosen people. I know you're frozen tonight, but you're also chosen. You've been chosen by God and you've been planted in this place. This is where he wants you. Each of us finds our meaning and function as a part of his body. But as a chopped off finger or a cut off toe, we wouldn't amount to much, would we? I mean, they chirp here in the front. You can chirp. We wouldn't amount to much if we were a cut off toe or off finger or whatever, and you're just lying there, like, you know. You wouldn't amount to much. You wouldn't be able to do a whole lot for the kingdom of God. But together we can do a lot. That's why the enemy wants to, you know, divide us and separate us. And now I want to ask you a question, and you can answer me. What would be some of the reasons in your thinking, if you think about it, what would be some of the reasons that would qualify you to be a cut-off toe or a cut-off finger or something like that? What would be some of the reasons? Come, tune me. Eh? This is not a wrong or right. We're not going to lock you out if you say something funny. And even if we do, it's cool. What are some of the things? Okay, seeing as though you're struggling to, you know, dig this deep. A couple of them are poor communication. Poor communication. And you know how things go when the communication's not lekker. I don't mind poor communication with my wife seated at the back of my bike. I'm riding. She's following. We don't need a whole lot of communication, you know. So, but poor communication in the body causes issues to fall apart. Speaking behind people's backs. Do we understand? Am I talking to the right people? Do we understand these things? These are basic things here this evening. Okay, these are not these deep, wonderful truths that are out there when we can't get these things right. Running folk down. We talk about them, but we talk about them in a destructive manner. And you know what? I know I'm talking to the right people because I've done it myself. So I'm no better than you. So if I've done it, you've done it. We've done it. We've all done it. So we can all say amen because we've all done it. All right. Don't get too excited about it because those are the things you've got to leave behind. You know? You don't want to latch onto them for too long. And lack of love. Lack of love. You know, it's just a lack of love. And then judging people falsely. We judge those in the body. There's place for that. But you know what? We judge people falsely. We weigh people up. You Owens that don't know me, you've weighed me up and skimmed. Ah, check his cromonkel there by George. He must have missed it calling that Marcello, you know. Check your heart, sir, pal. But, you know, it's the little foxes that will eventually cause you to become hard-hearted. It's the little foxes, these little issues that we have in our hearts that cause our hearts to become hard. And we don't hear the voice of God, and we don't step into obedience for the voice of God, and we don't put our feet into the obedience. We don't do what God's called us to do, because our hearts become hard, and then we become indifferent to one another. Now, I want to discuss a word with you. How many people, and I want you to lift your hands, you know, how many people understand the word, or have experienced the word disappointment? I'm talking to the right people here tonight. It's not that cold, eh? You can lift it up and put it down, lift it up. I mean, it works, though. Do you recognize that word? That word we recognize even in the Church of Jesus Christ. Because you know what? We haven't arrived. We're all broken people. But at least we admit that we're broken. At least that we admit that we need a crutch. We admit we need a Savior. We admit that we need a physician to fix us, because we have discovered that we cannot fix ourselves. We don't have the wherewithal to fix ourselves. We're not that wise. Although, you know, but we're really not that wise. Listen to Proverbs 15, verse 13. It says, a joyful heart makes a cheerful face. A joyful heart makes a cheerful face, but with heartache comes depression. How many people understand depression? Yeah, there should be a few more hands. I'm on medication for depression. That's not a joke, bro. It's a fact. You work with people, you love your dog a whole lot more. Yeah, that's just how it works. Like, hey, Gary, you smoke Jim. No wonder he called his dog Jim. Jim. And no other brother or sister are allowed to be called Jim. Just his dog. That's Jim. That's a Jim. But look at Proverbs 17:22. And I'm not saying this out of defeat, folks. Because you know what? The pressures of life actually break down your feel-good chemicals in your life. And it's not, oh, he's got demons, oh, there's sin in his life, oh, there's this, that, and we label it and judge it and all the rest of it. If I had to ask you to put up your hand, how many are on medication of some? I'm not talking about smoking buttons. I'm talking about medication. You know, a lot of you will put your hands up. You know what? It's not a big, you know. Our bodies get run down because we don't eat the right kind of food. We don't, you know, treat ourselves, although some of us don't. Oh. Yeah. Some of us try a little bit harder than others, eh, Georgie? I know George keeps himself well. He keeps himself liquor. I try, although I've been on leave for 2 weeks, and I'll probably have to put a bit of extra fuel in to get home. But it is uphill as well. So, but check here, Proverbs 17:22. Check what it says here. A joyful heart is good medicine, but depression drains one's strength. Depression drains one's strength. This is a frontline ministry. This is not a ministry for sissies. I'm glad to see enough men here tonight. I'm glad there's more men than women here, but this is a men's ministry. And women are meant to follow closely and be by the side, but the men are meant to lead. In a lot of churches, the women lead. But I'm glad this is a man's ministry. If you come up to East London Bikers Church, you'll know it's a man's ministry. Have you been there, bro? He's saying amen by faith, like. One day you'll get there. I know it's uphill. But Proverbs 18 verse 14 says that the spirit of a man will be his support when he is ill. But how may a broken spirit be lifted up? How may a broken spirit be lifted up? And I want to say we experience the book of God are written for his children. It's not the wicked sinners, pagans out there. We are pagans without God. We know better than the people out there. We treat them with just as much respect as we treat each other. Because it's the love of God that will bring them across. Not all your knowledge of the scriptures. The letter kills, but the spirit gives life. There's something, for many of you, I wanted to say, something happened to you in your lives. And I'm talking to you now, and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now. And I heard where Pastor George is taking this church, and I know what's going to be preached next week and where the church is going, and he didn't pay me to say what I'm saying tonight. So this is not arranged, but the Holy Spirit knows. Then the Holy Spirit understands what he wants to say to the church because it's in sync. You understand? God is in sync. The Trinity are in sync. They're not opposed to each other. But something happened to you somewhere down the line. And I want to say to you that it wasn't your fault. Something bad happened to you. Something happened to you where you got disappointed. And it wasn't always your fault. It's not about blaming someone else. But the disappointment came through someone else. You understand? These things are real. These things must happen. Don't think it's foreign for the kingdom of God. That's the faith message that was taken over over the borders. We meant to suffer. Christ learned valuable lessons through what he suffered. And if he did, then so will we. And when someone doesn't greet you and someone speaks badly about you behind your back, don't run away. Press into the things of God and understand that this is what we are called for. However will you build muscle, however will you stand against the strain of life, it's got to come through one another, yeah. Because we are a body. And it's got to come. When I walked from East London to Cape Town, every ounce and every inch of me had to push myself and push myself. Every single part of me had to work in sync. Otherwise, I wouldn't have got here. Wherever Pastor George wants to take this church and his wife Lorraine and the rest of your elders, and you guys have got to fit in and work with it. It doesn't matter. You're not going to get hurt in the process. You're going to get hurt in the process. You're going to bang your toe. You won't even understand it's a hard hat zone. And somebody's going to fall on your head. Someone's going to crap on your head. Put it that way. And then, you know, some damage is going to get done. But understand what you need to do. And it's so simple. Oh, I just want to say something quickly to you. You want to go and watch your soccer? Okay, relax. I'll be done. I want to just say something very quickly to you. I understand disappointment. And we all do. And we that are called pastors should actually have walked the road before because we lead by example. Now, by human standards, I shouldn't be here. George probably would, but not me. You know, and it wasn't in my... Huh? I always look up to you, bro. My older brother. But you know what? I shouldn't be standing here speaking to you today. And I've told some of you this. But I need to just say something else. Sorry, my sis, I'm going to put you in the eyes. Because that's what I do. I put people in the eyes. God puts people on the spot too. And he doesn't apologize for it. But you know what? I never met my mother and father. And I never knew the blood that flowed in my veins. My whole life. I turned 56 on the 4th of July. Just the other day. But toward the end of last year, I discovered who my family were. My wife put something up on the internet, on some adoption agency, whatever. And somehow my real biological mother connected in with that thing. And I went up to old Flippy's son's funeral up in Kimberley. His son got killed on the bike up in Namibia. The pastor's son. So you see, I mean, stuff happens to good people. Bad things happen to good people. And my mother contacted me. I was with some other people. We were in the ministry in Kimberley, and I was with some people that were musos with us in the ministry, and we were having supper, and my mother phoned me from Cornwall, England. Hello, Paul, this is your mother. I didn't even know she existed. Nothing. To discover I'm the eldest of seven children. She had me when she was 16. She had another two before 19. And then she had another four. But and you know, I don't mind saying this because I'm not saying this in a negative way, but she was a lady of the night. She used to go down to the harbors and frequent the sailors. I want to say there came a time in my life where I ran a brothel. And I have five chicks, and I used to pick up the anatas there in the harbor. I want to say that my father, who she couldn't remember his name, and I don't know who he is, but all I know, he was British, and he was a sailor. I left school in standard five, and I went and stoked the tug, the fires on the coal-burning tugs in Table Bay Harbor. I had this thing towards the sea. Never met them, never knew anything about them. I want to say, if you want to understand what disappointment is, I'll tell you what disappointment is. And, you know, and I want to say that been an incredible thing, yeah, because I met my sister for the first time in my life on the 4th of July. Come stand here, my sissy. Come here, and your children. Come here, look in the eyes. Come, quick. Yeah, nothing. This is family. Check. Even though you, like, adopted from some other place. They stay Pinelands somewhere. This is actually my flesh and blood sister that I'd never met in my life. She's a little bit younger than me. And her father was Norwegian. Yeah.
Sorry.
Huh?
I'm taking your mic off.
Fiddling with my wires here, though. Yeah. But, you know, and this is my nephew, and this is my niece, and I never understood family. Never understood family. I shied away from family because I didn't know how the thing worked. And, you know, and here's my family. This is my flesh and blood family. And we found each other on the 4th of July. I came down to spend my birthday with my sister. And you know what? When I hug her, I feel a connection for the first time in 56 years. So I want to say that you never arrive. And I'll tell you what, that God restores. As long as you're breathing and you have the breath of life in you, God begins to restore. And God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. And you know what? He restores men and women. And he does a great job at it at the same time. Bless you. Love you. That's water. And, you know, so it's been an amazing journey. It's been an incredible journey. I got saved by a street preacher on the streets of Cape Town in 78. 78, I came out of Polesmore. 78, I came out of the mental institution in Falkenberg. Been in there many times. My brother Donald also many times. So we understand disappointment. We understand what it's like to walk with our blankets on the street and eat in Roland Street soup kitchens. We understand what it's like to sleep in the caves of the mountains. We understand what it's like to be locked up and people saying, leave that boy alone, he's no good. He's no good. Don't have anything to do with him. You understand that, guys? Do some of you understand that? Eh? This is a place for naughty boys. So, you know, this is not Boys Town. This is a place for naughty boys. That's all. But, you know, and I'm just sharing this thing with you. I'm sharing disappointment with you. I'm sharing it from my life with you. I'm sharing my heart with you. I'm sharing my life with you so that you can understand that there's nothing to hide. You don't have to have anything to hide. You can be transparent and free with one another to talk about things that you need to talk about, because as you sit here tonight, some of you are hurting. because of what other people have done to you. But you know what? When my mother asked me to forgive me, you know what? When I put the phone down that evening in Kimberley, I said, I love you, Mom. And all I wanted to do when I grew up was to be with chummies and to be around their mothers. I was always around the mother. I was always in the kitchen washing the dishes after a square meal because I needed a square meal. And it was an amazing thing. And then she contacted my wife and said, when Paul comes home, I suppose I need to, you know, Skype him and ask for forgiveness. Which she did. She Skyped me. Hey, is that what you look like? And I'm trying to check myself out though. Because I had nothing to actually check myself out with. And I'm looking for a resemblance. I still look at my sister and I ask him, yes, that's not my nose. I've got a liquor nose left. Listen, I'll tell you what, only God can restore and give you a good self-image. You don't pick it up in the streets, pal. You get it from God. God gives it to you. It's His grace. I want to say, don't get religious with people. Don't come with all the cliches and all the garbage. Be real. Be real with each other. Be real with yourself and be real with Father. Because He's real with us. He says it like it is. There's nothing hidden here. So you know what? We need to say it like it is and without anything hidden. Amen? Oh, I don't care if you use it against me. That's your problem. Lekker. I don't mind dribbling a little bit on the floor here, George. It needs a bit of cleaning anyway. But listen, here's a couple of examples here. Listen carefully. These are a few examples of what you've been through because I've been through it, you've been through it. What about betrayal? Have you been betrayed? Have you felt betrayal in your life before? How many? Let me see your hands. Yeah, there should be more of you. Too lazy. Okay. What about rejection? Rejection. Hands, let me see. Rejection. And we're speaking to the right people here. What about rape? You don't have to put your hands up. I was raped. I was raped by a Roman Catholic brother in Standard 2. That opened up all sorts of freaky doors. You know, you begin to understand. And George Marks Adler, Georgie. But you know what? The whole thing is that, you know, if you don't have a father, you don't understand what the father's love is. And so you go through life all kurom and skiff, like, and you get hurt in the process until God finds you broken. And that's where He wants to keep you, broken. It's a good place to be, broken, because that's when He can work with you. But you've got to be honest. You have to be honest. I'm not ashamed. He's taken my shame. I've got nothing to hide. I'm speaking what you should be speaking. It's not a, hey, he's the preacher. No. I come under the same stuff you do. Right. What about bad self-esteem? I need just a few. Everybody else has got a good self-esteem here. Yeah. Well, not everybody's skin is good. Got bad skin. You're losing hair on the top. No hair at all. Your head is skew. You look like an egghead. Or something that they tease you about. How many people have had a little article plucked on them, scorp me hard while I'm down? Yeah. Yeah, so you were the, you know. I mean, those are heavy things, like, you know. You know what? What about abuse? Abandonment. Is this, you understand abandonment? Abandonment. We understand it. That's a hard thing that happened to us, to be abandoned. What about divorce? I'll put my hand up every single one of these things. What about loss? Loss of stuff, loss of this, loss of that. I want to say if we have a pilgrim mentality, then the loss of things doesn't matter a whole lot. Because this world is not our home. The things that we've got here, we handle very loosely. Because they come and they go. Doesn't matter if you sell your car at a loss. It wasn't a loss. You blessed the guy. Everyone's going to sell it at a profit and check what the profit I'm at. And you try and make yourself look cleverer than the other. Oh, stupid man. What about loneliness? Oh, we spoke about that. Am I speaking your language? I'm not cross. I'm just passionate about what I talk about because it's real. What about words spoken that brought death? You'll never amount to much. Stupid. I mean, we didn't understand what's this ADHD, I don't know, all that alphabet stuff like, you know. I left school in standard 5. I didn't understand those things. The teacher didn't understand me. I didn't understand them. And things weren't working. Life wasn't working. You don't know where you come from. You don't know what you're doing here. You don't know where the hell you're going. And life becomes a drag. And so you dope up and you get chesape every week. Everybody looks forward to Fridays. Why? The bottle stores make big bucks on a Friday. Like. But it hit your spirit and it broke it. These things that happen to you, they happen because of other people. And you've done it to others as well. There's no room to walk around feeling sorry for yourself. There's only room to bring it to the cross and say, Lord, you dealt with it 2,000 years ago. Why must I carry on walking with this stuff? If I was still walking with this stuff, I wouldn't be able to speak about it. The evil one used it, and he used it to bring you into bondage and to set up a stronghold to destroy your life. You can ask Donald, like, most of our chummies are sat dead, died violent deaths or whatever, or drugs and drink took them. I grew up still in the time of the District 6, like, we used to smoke it up in the Chapini Street and with the merchants there, and I grew up in those days. Life was good then. Yeah, I was very happy. I mean, yeah, what a lie. But listen, life was a lot slower, actually. You know what? Although I'm trying to slow it down, I ride a BM. Now, don't laugh. I sold my Busa. It was faster than your Pastor George's. Mine was the original. Love you, boy. Even if it was squeaky cleaner. I bought it for 60. 4 years later, I sold it for 60. So I've learned how to look after my stuff because none of it came easy. Nothing's come easy. Not even my wife. Love you, Mom. All right, let's run because the Owens are scheming. Yes, they must have scored a hat trick by now. But you know what? I want to say to you this evening, it might sound all funny and that, but we're talking real stuff here. And we've got to get victory over these things that are in our lives. And we need a revelation of the truth to be set free. A revelation of the truth to be set free. It's so easy to be set free. It's easy. Donald plays bass in a band in Pinelands there. And he was so much enemy, he was cropping a couple of chords there and it sounded like Pink Floyd, another brick in the wall. But you know what? That's what it ends up. All of those odd, you know, you were playing this morning there on stage and someone thought, yes, he's more of the singer number, like, you know, while they were playing. But you know what? That's exactly what happens. When you hang on to all of this garbage, it's another brick in your wall. That you know, that's the bottom line. This is not a very deep message. It's a very practical message. A. Huxley said, okay, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you mad. Yeah. You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you mad. Because it's difficult to face the truth, especially when it's about you. There's no problem facing the truth about someone else. We all like to get in on that. But when you've got to face the truth about yourself, that's a different cycle. Okay? Now there are people that have disappointed us. And there are folk here tonight that have not forgiven them. Next week you're doing breaking of bread. You got some time to get things sorted out before you come break bread because you're coming into the presence of God. Don't invite him here. He's inviting you here on his terms. I want to say, do you recognize any of these things in your lives? Listen carefully. Attitudes like bitter, resentment, anger. This is an angry nation, pal. We're angry about many things, because we feel that we're being done in unjustly. Listen, let me just tell you something quickly. We are no longer part of this world. We belong to the kingdom of God. And you know what? If God walked around with Jesus walked around with a chip on his shoulder, he would have still been in the grave. And he taught us how to deal with issues when issues came. He was a man of sorrows and a man that understood heartache, pain, rejection, and all of those things. He was also a stepchild, Brother Gino. Hey, you in good, yeah, it was a stepchild.
Although he rode a BM, it doesn't matter. He was still a stepchild. You know, donkeys must have BM. They say only old men ride BMs. I beg to differ. I tell you what, the older you get, the more valuable your life becomes, and so you ride a safer machine. Because the youngsters of today, they grow up in a fatherless generation, and so the older people need to start fathering the younger men. So you need to look after your life. So get rid of those superbikes. If you come right up in the East Cape, I want to tell you, you're an idiot if you buy a superbike. You must check the size of our potholes. And I tell you what, sitting in that position, by the time you check that pothole, it's too late, bro. Too late. But if you ride an adventure, I mean, this, I didn't get this for nothing. Yeah, you like it? Yeah. I tell you what, we just go through the potholes with a BM adventure. We don't have to try and dodge them. It's dodgy, the business that. It's putting your life at risk. Just go right through them. That's how the Lord wants us to go. Right through them. But listen, so there's people that are seated here tonight that have disappointed us, and we have disappointed others, and there are also folk here that have not forgiven them. And I've said that already. But, you know, much of our resentment or our anger or our retaliation leads to hatred, which eventually begins to lead to murder. And I'm not saying that you're going to go out and go and murder someone. But you know what? We murder them just by the things we say about them behind their backs, because we're angry and we're disappointed and we've been hurt and we've been rejected and we've been let down and we're struggling. Well, this is a good place to be tonight if you are one of these things and you've got these things sitting on your back. I want to tell you, somebody said, nah, the devil doesn't go to church. He does. He rides on your back and he comes to church. The demons come to church. I want to tell you that. They sit here with you. You don't have to keep an open chair for him. He's there on your back, whispering into your ear, you know. But as Christians, we need to obey the will of the Father by repenting and confessing and renouncing these issues in our lives. What is a spirit? A spirit is a personality without a body. It needs a body to express itself. So when I express hatred and anger, guess who's expressing themselves through me? Listen here, Louis Smeeds, whatever his name was. This is what he said. To forgive is to set a prisoner free, and only to discover that prisoner was you. Hold on. Matthew 6:14-15. It says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. You know how many Christians walk around not knowing what the hell they're meant to be doing here? And then we hear preaching like the abundant life. I don't want you to put your hands up, but how many are walking the abundant life? Don't put your hands up. It's not a good time. Yeah, I'm just being honest. How many are walking the abundant life? How many can look danger and difficulties in the face and say, you know what, I'm more than a conqueror. He brought me through this and he can take me on. And it's just life. Someone once said, we forgive to the degree that we love. We forgive to the degree that we love. Pastor George didn't just get a reputation in the Western Cape for being a muhu. He got one because he loves the biker. And I want to tell you, it costs a price. Because I have a reputation up there. Because I've loved the biker and I've laid my life down for the biker. Not so much that I ride vukas. I have vukas, yeah. I ride a vuka, he's not a biker. He's a wannabe. Nah. If it's two wheels, and it's fine, he's a biker. Here we are on our way to church this evening. I check this little cunt like on a scooter, like going up the hill, like, you know. I roll down the window. Oh, these days, just press button. And the window goes down, you know. And I said, where's your gloves? It's the first time I'm wearing no gloves. They're here. I said, you need to put them on. She said, I know it's cold. I said, no, when you fall, your hands go out first. Those are your tools. You need to look after yourself. I run a radio show up in East London for 3 years now. It's called Bike Alive. I know Pastor George has been doing one for many years on Radio Tigerberg. And what's it called? Riding for the Sun. Okay. Is it into the sun or for the sun? Or away from the sun? Okay. All right. Let's not get confused now about that. But yeah, in 1 John 4:21, it says here, and this commandment we have from Him. Whoever loves God must love his brother also. Do we profess to love God? Careful. Love is not passive. Love is not a passive thing. You must do something. You need to be proactive. And you need to demonstrate your forgiveness to those that have harmed you. You understand that, brothers and sisters? You have to do it. Love is not passive. It's got feet. We as a CMA have just gone up. 8 of us went up into Tanzania to take the gospel in the Jesus Form Project into 2 foreign languages. That we collected this over R1 million. You were part of it. And that's a wonderful thing. But we had to do something practical about it. Our walk to Cape Town raised us under 200,000 for Run for the Sun. The Lord told me to do it, so I did it. So I put my feet into action and did it. Well, I'll wait for someone else to do it. I don't believe I was the first person that was called to go and head the church because I'm not qualified. I got a Center 5 certificate. I did Bible school. Don't ask me what I learned there. I just come from the school of hard knocks. That's all. And all I know is to be honest. That's all. At least you know who you're dealing with. Rather the devil you know than the one that you don't know. So, you know, that's it. So, yeah, Matthew 5:44, I'm going to come down the land now, just in time for the kickoff, check. Matthew 5:44-45, but I say to you, be loving your enemies. The church has not got this together yet. But it's coming, our enemies are coming. They're on our doorstep, they're amongst us. And they're rising their heads while we play church and funny games with each other. And we don't get it together. He says, yeah, but I say to you, be loving your enemies, be blessing the ones cursing you, and be doing good to the ones hating you. And be praying on behalf of the ones mistreating you and persecuting you, in order that you shall become, take note, you're still becoming, that you shall become or prove to be sons and daughters of your fathers, of your Father. Have we proved to be sons and daughters of our Father? Have we put this first part into practice yet? But it's coming. You're going to get your opportunity to do that. Learn amongst each other before the real pawpaw hits the fan. And it's on its doorstep. It's right on our doorstep. It says here, the one in the heavens, because he causes, listen folks, his sun to rise on evil and good. And he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. David said, Lord, why do my enemies prosper? Why do the wicked prosper? We were once wicked and we still are wicked. But we've got to stay under the blood. We've got to stay at the foot of the cross. We know better than the people out there. Because I don't trust myself. I hope you don't trust yourself because you're liable to do anything. Because there's wickedness that dwells in our lives and in our hearts. Amen? So, with what sort of attitude do I forgive? And you know what? How often? We know these things, but we haven't practiced them yet. Matthew 18:21-22. At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or a sister who hurts me? 7? I think of that blood good number. The number of churches. Yeah, you like a number that. 7. But Jesus replied, 7? Hardly. Try 70 times 7. Try 70 times 7, the number of completion, of perfection. And if I do not forgive and get forgiveness, I become bitter and resentful and I become a hardened so-called Christian and I become a liability and I don't become an asset in society. I'm speaking from experience, people. I'm not speaking as one highfalutin with all the doctorates and degrees sitting on my wall. They lie in my drawer. But I carry the scars. Forget about the t-shirt. Got the t-shirt just to hide our nakedness. No. I carry the scars. And so do you. let people see them. Hey, my God. We let people see them. We go through things on purpose. God wants us to go through things. Job had so much more empathy for people when he came out the other side, but he had to go through it and stay focused on God, otherwise he wouldn't be written in the book. I mean, what makes us think that we are any better and we will not go through stuff? Don't, hey, oh, I'm too blessed. I've got, you know what? I found a club. I somehow rebuked them, a Christian club. They call themselves too blessed to be stressed. I pulled them there. I said, you're bloody arrogant. You know that? What are you trying to tell the world? That you're better than them? What makes you better than them? You stink just like they do. You're no better than them. I'm too blessed to be stressed. What an arrogant statement to make. Because we're not too blessed to be stressed. We end up divorced. We end up on medication. We end up having headaches. We end up going to hospital. We end up feeling sick. We end up with things that happen. Yeah, they happen there. We're real people. This is not a holy place, but we are holy people. And we walk with a holy God. And we need His blessing when things go bad. And bad they will go. Don't think God's blessings on you just when you've got money in the bank and everything is lekker. The devil could be part of that, for all we know. If you know what I'm saying. God wants to show your faithfulness when it doesn't go well. That's when people want to check when you land up in prison with Paul and Silas and write off of the New Testament from there. Come on, guys, let's get real. Let's forget about all this highfalutin stuff that gets preached out there. America doesn't have it all, folks. They're in the worst predicament now. With all those wonderful preachers and massive churches, they do not have the answer. Don't be hoodwinked by the stuff that comes out of that land. Hebrews 12 verse 15, it says, see to it that no one fails to obtain the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up and causes trouble, and by it many become defiled. Many who? Many of us, we become defiled. And so this is such a serious thing for your survival as a part of the body of Christ. How many times the enemy wants to axe us and separate us and cut off? Deuteronomy 29:18-19, beware lest there be among you, where? Among Barker's Church, yes. Among you, a man or woman or clan or tribe whose heart is turning away today from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of those nations. Beware lest there be among you a root bearing poisonous and bitter fruit. One who, when he hears the word of the sworn covenant, listen to this carefully, guys, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall be safe. Though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart, this will lead to the sweeping away of moist and dry alike. There's a lot of Christians, and many are called but few are chosen. There's a lot of Christians walking around thinking they got it together because they sing a couple of songs and clap and say the right things at the right time. Check your heart for the shallowness. When the seed falls, what kind of fruit does it bear? How shallow is the soil of your hearts tonight? Can the band please come up? Where they haven't gone to go and put the telly on. No. I don't want you to go make coffee and off to the toilet and all. I want you to just do, we're finishing now. And thanks, George. It's always lovely to just come and minister. I love Cape Town because I stood at the back of that church, in the front of that church one day when 900 leather jackets sat here, and I said to one of my colleagues, Clive Pawson from CRC, I said, yes, this is a pastor's dream. Look at this. I mean, look at this. But then one of the Satan saints got killed. Remember that day? And I still came with my little cross on my bike, the one I walked to Cape Town with. So what do I do now about my condition? What do you do now about your condition? You got to do something about your condition. Christ has already done something about your condition. Now it's your turn to do something about your condition. Because I can guarantee you that there are some here who are not worthy to participate in the breaking of bread next week. Because there's issues in your heart that you need to go and sort out. Because people have done things to you and they've hurt you. and you've never released them. In Acts 8:22 to 23, it says, repent then of this evil plan of yours and pray to the Lord that he will forgive you for thinking such a thing as this. For I see that you are full of bitter envy and are a prisoner of sin. I'm going to ask you to be man and woman enough. If this message has touched you and these words have touched you, we've laughed. Yes, we've laughed. I had to get into your heart somehow. You've laughed. But you know what? A lot of that was truth. In fact, it was all truth. And we all recognized the truth. Well, you see, if you don't act and be proactive on truth, you stay imprisoned. And you will never understand what the abundant life is actually all about. Abundant life is not about the bank account that's full, folks. Please, don't be deceived by the systems of the world. An abundant life is when you're sitting in prison and you have an open heart and you can love your fellow prison, and you can be an asset for God in the prison, and you can be an asset for God in the gutter, wherever you might find yourself begging at a robot on a street corner with your thing. You can be a major blessing out there. God needs people out there. God needs people in every area of life. And who's he going to send? He's going to send me and you. So when the wheels fall off and things get bad, as they sometimes do, because life is like this, when you're down there, ask God, what is my purpose? Because his purpose for you has not changed. It remains the same. But he has to get you there. He needs you there. Don't try and kick against the things of God. Work with them. Lord, how may I serve you here? It's a very honorable thing to be in a bad place as a servant of God. It's honorable. Please hear me. It's honorable. It's honorable. Bitterness, resentment towards someone who's harmed you, or about circumstances that have disappointed you, needs to be repented of. I'm going to ask you, won't you come? I'm not going to ask people to close their eyes. I don't read that in Scripture. You need prayer. You need to release stuff in your heart. You know that you've got stuff in your heart. Let me just say one other thing as you're coming. Please come. This is family. We're not ashamed. There's nothing to be ashamed of. You will never conquer in the next stage of your life until you get this dealt with. You will never move into your destiny until you get this dealt with. And this is the thing that the Lord has been impressing on you for a long time. Some of you. I don't know. Pastor George hasn't told me nothing about you. You know, when it's not a major, ooh, what if they see? God sees and he says, I want you to be free. Walk out of here free. Get rid of the stuff that the enemy has legal right over your life with. Close the doors on him, folks. Let's not play games with God. Life is serious. We can have a jaw while we're about it, but life is serious. He sent his best so that you can walk free. If you do not deal with the issues of your heart, it will cause you to fall short of the grace of God. There's more folk that need to be here. I'm just going to give it another minute or two. I believe there would be a ministry team, Pastor George. There might even be some band members. Need to be there. What does the word say? Confess your faults, your slip-ups, your shortcomings. Confess it one to another. Why? Because I fall in the same place that you fall in. What's so different between me or you? We're not that different. I want to ask that those that are standing with, I want you to come to the front and face them. And you can speak softly and you know what I want to ask you? Please, folk, please. I want to ask you, is this all right, George? I don't want to take over. Although I do. I want to ask you to be confidential about this. I don't want it going to anybody else. It doesn't belong to anybody else. And you're fortunate enough to hear someone else's issues because you can relate to them. I want some more workers here, please. Come stand in front of them. Unless you're also here for prayer. And you might say to yourself, well, you know what? I've done this so many times before. Gary, won't you come? Leslie, won't you come? Is that okay, George? There's some brothers down there. Come, Richard. My brother. We should all be able to stand with a brother. We should all be able to pray. We don't need a title to do that. There's still some brothers here waiting. There's some brothers here waiting. I'm not going to, you won't watch your soccer until we have someone praying here. What the fuck? I need some more brothers. Men, men. Men. Men on men, women on women. I need some more men here. Come, guys. You're part of the household of God. You don't need to have a doctorate degree in whatever to just hear a man's heart and feel with him and pray with him and then...